This podcast is brought to you by Lanco Group, your business partner for engineering solutions. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
Van der Beek and Tadic! Ajax have their boots on the throats of the champions! Milinkovic-Savic! Where they belter! Oh, what a phenomenal strike!
It'll push and run from Kolarov, who had a goal and hit the inside at the top of the net and dragged Roma right back into it.
Hello and welcome to the Serbian Football Show on Football Nation Radio. This is your host Miloš, and it's great to have everyone back for another exciting show and another week. We have a lot of things to talk about today, and what was a pretty eventful week in the world of football, in the world of Serbian football especially. Today, I'm joined by a couple of guests, like usual. First, I have, of course, you all know him as the number one Toledo Covenant fan, Ogi. How are you doing today, Ogi?
Doing well, my man, doing well. I mean, I'm a little sad to report that FC Astana suffered a rough 2-0 loss. Rukovna did manage to get to the 90 minutes, but things are not looking as well in Astana lately.
Oh, man, that's rough. I hope he's in the right mind frame for the big games against Ukraine and Lithuania at the end of the month. Or Ukraine-Lithuania at the end of the month. We're really going to need him in that right-back position. Hopefully he can recover mentally from that heartbreaking Kazakhstani League loss.
I hope so.
And also, we are joined, like usual, by our man Luca in Washington. How's it going today, Luca?
Hey, man. Going well. I'm a little bit disappointed in all of our boys lost in the Champions League and in the NBA playoffs, but I'm getting through it, man.
Yeah, for sure. A lot of that to talk about. And today, we're joined for the first time by a special guest from Belgrade, Serbia, Alexa. Alexa, how are you doing tonight?
Doing well. It's tiring. It's 1 in the morning, but I'm up, I'm motivated, and I'm ready to go. Hopefully, we have a good one.
It's great. Great to have you here. Perfect. So the first thing, Luke already mentioned it, but let's just get right into it. Quite a heartbreaking week for our players in the Europa League semifinal and the Champions League final. First, Dusan Tadic and Ajax going out in absolutely brutal fashion to Tottenham. I couldn't believe what I was watching when that happened. Lucas Moura, wow. Where did this guy come from? But, Ogi, what were your thoughts on that game, and what do you have to say about what we witnessed?
Generally speaking, I think this past week in Champions League may arguably go down as the most dramatic pair of games that we've seen of all time. I mean, it was madness. If you're a betting man, betting on some of these underdogs to qualify, I mean, you're rich right now. That was crazy. I mean, specifically about Ajax, What to say? I mean, seeing their faces at the end of that game, it was just devastation. And I think really we've talked multiple times and we've said that Ajax plays the same way every game. They have the same approach, gas on the pedal, no defending, push forward at all times. And I think perhaps for the first time all season, it came back to bite them. When you're up 2-0 at halftime, on the verge of qualifying for the Champions League final, there's no way you can lose that game. And I mean, you could partially, I guess, blame it on the coach, but something tactically needed to happen there. And credit to Tottenham, by the way. You know, it's not easy. And Lucas Moura has basically overnight become a hero for that club. Credit to them. But I mean, I think that was more Ajax losing than it was Tottenham winning. They're a relatively young team, as we've mentioned, and I think for the first time, their naive approach kind of came through. That's not to take anything away from them. You know, the season that they've had, making it to the Champions League semifinals, the teams that they knocked out, kudos to them. This season has been nothing but a success, but I mean, realistically, they should be playing in the final against Liverpool. It's unfortunate. It's devastating for Tadic.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and you know, they had it right. They had that lead at halftime. It was all in their hands, and they just let it slip. And Tottenham didn't give up. They kept coming, and you just hate to see it happen in the last minute, though. It's just really brutal. But Tadic did have a pretty solid game as well. He had that nice assist for the Ajax goal. Luka, what are your thoughts on the game?
I feel Tadic's pain, man. It's almost like I was on the field for that game, dude. I was absolutely gutted after that, 95th minute goal. It almost, Ajax definitely didn't deserve to go out that way, man, for the season they've had in the Champions League and in the Dutch League. But, you know, you live and you learn. I really do hope that Tadic bounces back from this better than ever. And there were just some mental mistakes, man. Even the goalkeeper on that second goal, Schoene was trying to clear out the ball out of the box, and he hits him as he's trying to clear it. And the ball just falls to Lucas, and then he just slots it in, man. It was painful to watch. I think this will be a very good learning experience for Tadic, even at 30 years old, and I'm hoping for a much brighter future for him, man, after his performances in the Champions League.
Yeah, for sure, and he did put his name. You know, his name is now, you know, up there with the really good players in the world after his performances in the Champions League this year. So he's definitely done a lot to bolster his own reputation. Alex, what were your thoughts on the game and your thoughts on Tadic's performance in general?
Well, I think there's two schools of thought, if you will, amidst all of this. You know, for Frankfurt as well, but I would go on and say for Ajax specifically, it was horrible to watch just for two reasons. One, it was horrible to see a team that was so good the entire season. I mean, this goes back to the qualifying stages. When they went up against Dynamo Kiev and they battered them, they were amazing in the group. You watch them and how they play, and they play with so much experience and poise and maturity for a team that's so young. And to see them, I can't even say that they capitulated or collapsed, because it's not like, oh, well, we just stopped playing. You know, we're just going to put 10 men behind the ball and we're not going to attack. I mean, you know, they still had chances. I think Ziyech hit the post at the end, if I'm not mistaken. They still were creating chances. They just ran into a team that was a little bit more inspired, that was a little bit luckier, and that had a little bit of a better manager. And I disagree with saying that Ajax lost it. I think Spurs absolutely won it. It sucks that they're in the final. I have nothing against Pochettino. I love him as much as the next guy. But a Liverpool-Ajax final would have been my personal fantasy. And I think it would have been everyone's dream to see it, because you have two teams that have so much history, that are so amazing to watch. And to have Spurs and Liverpool, I hate those all-nation finals, by the way. Just like
oh, likewise, man. I won't be watching.
I hated the all-Spanish finals. I hated the all-German Bayern Borussia final. I hate finals with one nation in there. That's just my opinion. And the second reason, if I may just really quickly point out, is that there's a sadness that I don't know if Tadic is going to be able to repeat the season he has. Not because he's not talented enough to do it, but all those assists that he has, there's other guys around him that have to make those assists come to fruition. And Ajax is not going to have as good a team next year. De Ligt is gone. De Jong is gone. You know, they're going to develop great players, but they're not going to get guys like that. You know, I don't care what academy you are. Those guys come every 10 or 15 years. And the second part is that now teams are going to be more focused on him. He kind of flew under the radar this year. We knew he was great because we watched him for 5 years. I've watched him since his boyhood in the days, and we all knew he was going to be a star. But now everyone's focused on him, and it's not, you know, an accident that after the Real game, when he exploded and when everyone started talking about him, you know, the Juventus game, he wasn't really that into it. The Spurs game, I mean, he had an assist, but he didn't really do anything. His age is going to maybe catch up to him, so that's my fear. But I think he should still be proud. I mean, he's been world class. The stats prove it, his performances prove it, and long may it continue.
Yeah, for sure. And it's tough. You hate to see an all English final in the Champions League, an all English final in the Europa League as well, which is our next topic. Chelsea versus Eintracht Frankfurt. Jovic with another goal, of course, keeping up his regular duties as someone who scores on a almost weekly basis. And, you know, Mija Kacinovic had a nice assist as well to Jovic's goal. But at the end, they fell out in the worst way possible in the penalty shootout. Luka did convert on his penalty, but it wasn't enough. Luka, what do you have to say about your namesake's run and sad ending to the Europa League?
I think, you know, an image that describes it perfectly is when Ante Rebic was celebrating when Luka Jovic was one-on-one with the keeper before he even scored. He was already celebrating like he scored. So, you know, that just shows you how clinical Jovic is, man. And beautiful, beautiful run in the Europa League. You know, they're staggering a little bit in the Bundesliga. They just lost again to Mainz 2-0, I believe, over the weekend. So they're out of contention right now for the Champions League. So given all that just happened, I've actually changed my tone a little bit on Luka Jovic going to Real Madrid, and I actually do want to see it happen. I want to see him playing some high-level football and see what he can accomplish doing that match.
Yeah, if they don't make it, it doesn't look like they're going to make it to the Champions League. So if they don't make it to the Champions League, I think he should definitely leave and go to a club. I don't know if Real is the right choice, but he should definitely go to a club that's going to be playing Champions League football next year. And Luka capped off his amazing campaign with his 10th goal in the Europa League, which is tied with most with Giroud, which is an amazing accomplishment for him. Ogie, what were your thoughts on that heartbreaking loss, another heartbreaker for one of our players?
It was a heartbreaking result in the end, but I honestly think Eintracht and our boys can only hold their heads up high. I mean, one of the things we said in the first episodes about Eintracht is the fact that all three of our guys are playing regularly, that they're building chemistry, that they're playing well off each other. And what did we see in this round against Chelsea? Well, in the first game, you see Kovacic putting in a beautiful cross, Jovic finishing it. What do we see in the second game? Kacinovic slipping through a through ball for Jovic to finish it. So just seeing these guys play together, I think, is fascinating and is excellent for our national team and ultimately the lineup and the chemistry within it. Specifically, what can you say? I mean, they played well. I thought they played much better in this game than they did in the first leg. They had some great chances, so did Chelsea, of course, but you know, anytime you lose a game on penalties, there really is no loser. You know, sometimes you're fortunate, sometimes you weren't. Chelsea got the better of them on that day, and it was more devastating because they were winning in the shootout. And then, you know, you bring up a center back there in Hinteregger to take the penalty, and things kind of go south. But what can you do? It's penalties, it's soccer. To make the semifinals like they did is an outstanding accomplishment. And just one more side note related to Eintracht. They are reportedly interested in Uroš Racic. That's the center back, played for Zvezda. He plays for Tenerife now and in La Liga number 2. He's on loan from Valencia, but Eintracht is reportedly interested in him. So, I mean, if they bring him on, holy smoke, like this. Who's the player director? Who's looking out for these transfers? I mean, surely they must have some connection to the national.
Well, I also saw they were looking at Nikola Ninkovic from Ascoli in Serie B, who's having a really good season out there. So, they definitely have a lot of scouting in the Balkans and Serbia in general. Alex, what are your final thoughts on Eintracht's great run, surprising run in Europa League that came to sad end?
It's hard for me to pick what was more painful. You know, Ajax were the favorites. Eintracht weren't the favorites, and I was pulling for them more. This whole week's just been a disaster because we could have had four players playing for major European trophies. Like, imagine that. We haven't had a player play for a major European trophy since Bane Ivanovic 6 years ago against Benfica in the Europa League final, which is something that I think we need to point out. You could count Nemanja Matic in the Super Cup if you want, but that's a glorified friendly. That doesn't mean as much as it should. Specifically regarding Frankfurt, it was an experience. The penalties, I ripped my hair out because I could see from a mile away that Hinteregger and Paciencia were not going to score. I mean, Hinteregger looked completely out of it from the second that the opening whistle went. Paciencia couldn't string two passes together, and it was just, I don't understand why he subbed Gacinovic off. I mean, if anything, he has the experience of pressure situations. May I remind you of New Zealand? May I remind you of the penalty shootout against the U.S.? So there was no reason to take him off, but he played so well in terms of covering the ground, and his passing was brilliant. Kostic's physical conditioning is phenomenal. The guy could run a marathon, like, you know, full speed. And Jovic, I'll just say this about him, you know, very shortly. My grandfather watched some great players from the 50s and 60s, the likes of Shrek Balarats and Bobic and the likes, and he says, I've never seen anything like this kid. He's like Mijatović, but Peđa Mijatović wasn't this ruthless. He wasn't this strong. He wasn't this, you know, he wasn't this efficient to the point where if he misses the target, it's like, wow, he missed the entire net. I've never had that sense of security with anyone, with any of our players. I didn't feel like that when Vidic was in defense. I didn't feel like that when Dan Stankovic was in the middle of the field. And that level of production is something that's great. It's sad for Frankfurt that they've basically thrown away not just this season, but their future with these last couple of, you know, games, losing to Mainz and everything. But we'll see what happens. I think they're going to be fine. I don't think Jovic is going to leave because I think the price is too high and the other two guys are just going to develop. And if I may say, specifically on Uroš Racic very quickly, that seems to be a legit rumor. And considering that Sebastian Rode, who has been a very important part of their midfield, is a Dortmund loanee and Uroš can play in a defensive midfield spot, it makes sense that he could come in and replace him, and they seem to be moving towards it. I'd like to see that happen because I think he's a talented guy. How realistic is it? I don't know, but it would be awesome to see.
Yeah, for sure. And you know what's going on, Valencia, first they lose Maksimovic, who's doing very well for Getafe, and now they're possibly going to sell Rachich as well to another club, and he can. I mean, it seems like they pick him well, but they just don't have much room to play them because of the quality of their squad. And also, a special shout out to Bane Ivanovic, who won the Russian league with mm-hmm. Zenit as he continues to add to his legendary career and his legendary trophy case. Always happy to see him doing well, and everything that comes his way is well deserved, as he is definitely a legend of our football and football in general.
All the while he was terrified by a flare.
I saw that video, man.
Hilarious video.
That was hilarious.
The flare waving, and he's like terrified, and then you see him on the pitch, and he's diving for a free ball, and he's bleeding, and he doesn't care. He's just a good guy.
Yeah, I love the guy. And it's not all bad for Tadic. He did win the Dutch Cup this week and also the Dutch League with Ajax. And those are the first two trophies of his career, which is an amazing achievement for him. And it's been long overdue and long deserved. Now, there are some rumors that, as Alex actually mentioned, you know, Ajax could be a really different team next season. And who knows if they'll be able to match the same success. Now there's some rumors about bigger clubs being interested in Tadic. I'll start with you. Do you think that this would be a good time for him to maybe test his waters at a big club, or is it better to stay in a place that's working out for him so far?
Yeah, it's a difficult question to answer, because I mean, on the one hand, you're coming off of the best season of your career. You're in absolutely fantastic form. You fit into the squad. You know, his family's probably settled there. He's obviously happy. So, you know, from the one angle, yeah, absolutely. Stay there, build on these achievements, continue playing your football the way you have this season. But on the other hand, as was mentioned, Ajax is known as an academy team that builds up players and then sells them. Frankie de Jong is going to Barcelona. Matthias de Ligt has been linked with just about every team in Europe. So, I mean, I think there's a 99% chance that he's leaving. So, you know, without those two, and then even a left back like Tagliafico, who's going to attract plenty of interest too, this team is going to look a lot different next year. And, I mean, can they? Obviously, they're going to qualify for the Champions League, but can they make it out of the group stage? Perhaps, you know, it'll depend on the group. But I think the bigger point here is that this won't be the same team. And with so much interest, I mean, from teams like Juventus, from teams like Bayern, Valencia, you know, this may be the time for him to leave. And again, Ajax, his price is never going to be higher. From their perspective, they may be motivated to sell him. And I think Tadic can succeed in these bigger clubs. I mean, remember, Southampton is a Premier League team. We've talked about this. The Premier League is incredibly physical. Tadic's style of play perhaps didn't fit in as well there. But, you know, the Bundesliga, La Liga, Serie A, I think his game translates much better and much more fluently into those leagues. So I think for the sake of his career and building on the performance this year, and because, again, some of Ajax's key players are going to leave, I think it would be a good time to move. Again, whether it's Juventus, Bayern, Valencia, we'll see. But I would like to see him move and play for a big club next year.
I think he's deserved that, right? He's always been someone that we thought was a really good player, and someone like him, in my opinion, definitely deserves to have the prestige of playing for one of Europe's biggest clubs, be it a Bayern or a Juve. I really do think that he's in the peak of his career right now. You know, he's probably he's never been this good, and he's probably never going to be this good again. So I think it's good for him to finally test out that big club, big pressure waters. And I know, yeah, Ajax is definitely a big club and a historic club, but I mean, one of the top five league big clubs, which would be really amazing and a nice feather in the cap for his career, because he definitely has earned that. Alexa, what are your thoughts on Tadic's amazing season and 26 goals in the Eredivisie, 14 assists? Would this be a prime time to leave?
Absolutely not. I wish I could give some kind of counter argument as to why I think he could leave. I think he's good enough to go anywhere, genuinely anywhere. But he doesn't have the brand. He doesn't have the name. I mean, first off, Ajax has a tremendous Serbian tradition, which is something that people forget, from the likes of Veli Borovacevic to Marko Pantelic, and now a third great player that's come through. He's been in Netherlands for most of his life. He was in Twente and then in Groningen. His family loves it. They built a mural for him a month after he came. He's playing in a very good league. And yeah, the Eredivisie is not the Premier League. It's not Spain, but it's the best league outside the top five. And I would argue it's better than the French league, because PSV and Ajax are doing great. He's in a great form. He knows the team. He knows everything. There's no reason for him to leave. And I would also like to mention that anybody who thinks he didn't do well with the Premier League is wrong, because he didn't do well in the Premier League because of circumstances around him. You look at the conversion rate of the strikers that played with him. Shane Long, Gabby Adini, Graziano Pelle, Charlie Austin, no disrespect to those guys. He was putting balls for them on a plate, even when he was pushed out with the famous Mladen Krstajic tactic, I'm going to push him on the right wing and not have him do anything. That's why he struggled that last season at Southampton. It wasn't because he couldn't play. He was just misused. The second that they brought him back into the attacking midfield spot, he scored 4 goals against Chelsea and Bournemouth, and he basically single-handedly saved them. I just want to point that out. He also had 15 assists one season, which was the year that Radovan Čučić said he's not good enough to play. So he has nothing to prove to anybody. Pixie's probably the greatest player that has ever showed up from this country, and he never played for a big club. You know, Marseille is in Real Madrid. Nagoya is in, you know, Barcelona. So he doesn't need to play for a big club to be great, and I don't think he should leave. And I'm amazed by his attitude and his performance, and he is the best thing that's happened to Serbian football in years and years and years, and long may he continue.
Yeah, so he's definitely the best thing that we've had in quite some time. And, you know, he just definitely has this tradition of undressing after a big result. He's always, you know, the Serbian national team when we qualified for the World Cup.
Well, you would undress. You would undress if you had those kind of abs. I mean, if you had those kind of abs, I have 250 pounds. I'd kill for those abs. I show them off to them. It is what it is.
Yeah, and then he took off his suit and threw it into the crowd as Ajax was celebrating their championship title. So
I thought he might go the Mirko Vucinic route and take off his shorts and chill on that dog.
How much do you think that tie's worth now? That tie's worth like $100,000 in 10 years.
Right,
like,
man?
Some fan probably grabbed it.
I would have framed that.
Oh yeah.
All right, now let's shift gears to our next topic. Let's talk a little bit about the national team. Now, the qualifying matches in June are fast approaching, and we're getting closer and closer. It's a nervous time for fans because we're always very well aware of how easily we can mess up and ruin our campaign early because we've done it so many times before. But hopefully this time will be a bit different. Big test for the team in Ukraine on June 7th. Everybody needs to be on their top form, and it's always these end of season qualifiers are always tough because guys are just coming off a long season, you know, they're nursing injuries, their bodies are a bit worn down, and it's always a tricky time to play these games. I remember, you know, even in that famous 2010 World Cup qualifying run, those June matches versus Austria and Faroe Islands were brutal. Barely got those results. We were pretty lucky against Austria at home, and Faroe Islands was a tough away game. You only won 2-1, or 2-0, sorry, 1-2-0. But it was very tough to break them down. As you can tell from our experienced team, they're very tired in those games. So definitely not going to be the easiest matches, and it's in the toughest part of the schedule. Let's go with you, Luca. What are you looking for in these matches? Let's talk about lineup specific. What lineup would you play against Ukraine in Lviv?
Yeah, so, you know, Ukraine is going to be a tough match. I think we all know that. So I'm not down to experiment this time. What I would do, man, is I got to see Luka Jovic up there instead of Mitrovic. And the reason is just based on how good of a season Luka Jovic had and how Mitrovic really had I don't want to say bad season because he still scored, you know, something like 12 goals in the Premier League. But, you know, Fulham was just not good this year, and he suffered because of that. And, you know, in the last couple of match days, he hasn't scored. So just given the form that Luka Jovic is in and that Tadic is in, and I do believe, you know, Luka Jovic is a more technical player than Mitrovic. So I think he would link up even better with Tadic right behind him. And then also if you have somebody like Ljajic there as well, also a technical player, and we know how well he already plays with Kostic on the wing. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing that attack, but I do need to see Luka Jovic up there, and I really think he can deliver for us.
Yeah, definitely. It would be nice to see him finally get a start in a match that matters, not a friendly match. I think he's earned that. Hopefully we'll see Krstajic change it up a little bit and give Luka some more time to shine in a big game like this. Ogie, what is your lineup preference for our next matches?
Look, I'm a big believer in playing players and shaping your lineup against players that are in form. There's something to be said about continuity, not so much with international football, just because of how long the games are, how long the pauses are between games. But look, I think at the end of the day, Krstajic's job is to
find a way to play his best players in a lineup that allows them to really rely on their strengths and mitigate some of the weaknesses. So with that said, I think you got to switch it up. I mean, we've seen enough of these fullbacks. Dimitrovic is obviously going to be in that. I think you go to a back three with Milenkovic, Spajić, who's been in fantastic form at Krasnodar, and Veljković. And then, like I've said before, you have your wing backs that are they're playing excellently. Darko Lazović on the right, Filip Kostić on the left. In the center of the midfield, I'm sorry, but Matic should not be in the lineup. Yeah, he's been a mainstay. Yeah, he's, you know, been a good soldier and he's contributed to our national team. But I don't care who you are. If you're not playing regularly and you're not in form, then you don't deserve to play. And the other side of that is we have so many center midfielders currently that are playing excellently. I mean, above all else, you have Nemanja Muksimović, the Serbian N'Golo Kante. He's a monster. Marko Grujic is playing fantastic. And he it actually makes sense because he really he's the reincarnation of Nemanja Matic. Players are really similar. Grujic actually is even better going forward, shown by his goal scoring prowess for Hertha. And then Gacinović, who's also been, of course, in great form. So I like those three in the middle a lot. And then up front, again, take your pick. I think if Jovic doesn't start, there may be a revolt in Serbia. He needs to be in the lineup. And then I put Tadic up there with him, too. So in sort of that supporting striker, secondary striker role, I like them two up there a lot. Mitrovic has been good. His goal-scoring record for the national team is excellent. Again, it's not so much his fault that Fulham has struggled, but with the way Jovic and Tadic have been playing, I like those two up front. And I think this 3-5-2 with the players that are in form is what we go with against an important game against Ukraine.
Hey man, do you think that Ukraine is the team to be, especially if it's like a crucial game, do you think it's the team to be experimenting our lineup with?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Again, it's an important game, but look, again, I don't want to see Rukavna at that right back role anymore. I really don't. And again, the left back role, Kolarov has proven, I think, that he is far better going forward than he is defending. So I feel way more comfortable with Kostic on that left-hand side. As was mentioned, he covers an incredible amount of ground.
Yes.
He is key in defense. He's key in attack. And finding a way to play Kostic, Gacinović, and Jovic with the chemistry that they've had and how well they've played together, not to mention all the other players that have been in form, I think this is our best bet. But I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, and Kostic has not played the same lineup once so far, and he's never played Kostic, Jovic, and Gacinović together either. Which is something that should definitely happen. As far as Matic, no, Matic definitely hasn't been playing well lately, hasn't been playing at all lately, so it's tough to put him in the lineup. But a big game like this against a team like Ukraine that does have quite a bit of experience, you might need that leadership out there of Kolarov and Matic. I do trust our younger players, but in a big game like this, it's a tough call between experience and form. And I think sometimes in the past, players have shown that no matter what's going on, if they have that experience, that they can put in that performance when it matters the most. So we'll see what happens there. Alex, what are you thinking lineup-wise? What are your preference?
Jovic and Mitrovic up top. First of all, anybody who has anything against Mitro is just, if you watch the single game of Frankfurt this season, look at the Jovic production when Sebastian Haller was there, and look at his production after Haller got hurt. That's all I need to say. And by the way, Mitro is one of those guys like Žigić, like Sal Milošević. Those are guys that are an X factor. They find the back of the net. Doesn't matter what form they're in. Doesn't matter how bad they're playing, they're hurt. He's going to absolutely kill himself trying. And you need that, especially in a place like Ukraine where we have had an atrocious record. Now, granted, we've only played against them in friendlies. But I don't know what to expect at this point, because who's to say that we're not going to have a situation like we did against Portugal where mysteriously Kostic and Maksimovic are not there, they're injured, but yet they're playing 3 days later. Who's to say that he's not going to have a brawl with Maksimovic because, you know, he's pushing Hitafi to a fourth-place spot and he's injured and he's tired and, well, you know, he doesn't want to show up. So I have no idea what to expect. I would experiment because we have the Nations League as like a backup option at this point. And Ukraine, you know, they don't have great striking options. Yarmolenko is injured. They were very weak against Portugal. They should have lost to Luxembourg when you look at the chances. But I can't point to anything. The players are going to try. We have the talent to do it, but we have we have a pretender on the touchline who's going to, you know, I'm expecting him to go with something. I think Jovic is going to sit on the bench. I almost want to see it happen because I think that's the only way we can get him out of the manager spot.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I don't know what to expect, honestly. I wish I could, but at this point, it's just I'm banking on the players and I'm banking on their talent and their desire. And if I could just say one more thing, just to point out, there's a winning mentality with these guys. All these guys are playing for big matches. They're playing in important roles. They don't need, you know, somebody to hype them up. They need someone who's a calming influence. And you look at Krstajic, who's a madman, who's throwing his shirt, who's changing his tactics, and who's fighting with everybody. That can't be a calming factor. So I have no idea what to expect. I'd go with two up top for sure and then pick, you know, choose whatever you want after that.
Hey, Alexi, just a quick question on that formation, man. On the two up top, how would you play Tadic in that if you have Mitrovic and Jovic up top?
Just play him in a role where he should have played all along, which is in the number 10 spot.
Mm-hmm.
You have Maksimović and guys like that who can absolutely run. Kostic and Lazović are so – it's so awesome. You know, we complained. You guys have watched the national team. I've watched it since morning. It was always – we never had the physical condition. We're tired. We can't run. And you see these two guys who are zooming down the wing, and they are flying like they're in an F1 car, and they're crossing, and they're creating chances, and that's awesome to have.
Right.
Jovic just scored goals with his head. Mitro is a monster in the air. Nobody can deny that. Mm-hmm. We have midfielders that can run. Tadic runs a lot. What I would like to see is I would like to see Kolarov in the back three. I think that could work as a center back. I think it would be good for distribution. But it's Krstajic, and he might go out and, he'll stick with Rukavina because he's the greatest right back in the history of the world. So, you know, we can't really predict anything, but we'll see. I am a little bit scared, but at the same time hopeful because we have the players who have the mentality. For the first time in a while, we have the mentality to do something. It's just the manager is not a manager. So
you guys are definitely right. We finally have some runners for the first time in quite a bit. You know, before we had a couple speedy guys, but now we have a good number of speedy guys. It's like Maksimović in midfield. He's an engine. And then you have Kostic, Lazović, Jovic, Gacino. These guys are all guys that are tireless runners. This is something that we've been missing for a really long time. And Krstajic has to take advantage of that. I don't think he's done it so far, and I don't know if he's capable of taking full advantage of that, but it's definitely something that we should be looking at. And great point by you, Alexa, there about Jovic playing much better with Allaire. Yes, Allaire and Mitrovic are similar type players, and I think Jovic has shown that he can play well with another striker, another more powerful striker, and Mitro is exactly that.
And if I could also point out one more thing, sorry to interrupt. If you remember the game against Shakhtar Donetsk in the Europa League, the first leg when they played in Ukraine, when Jovic had a couple of crosses that were absolutely peach perfect for Kostic and for whoever else. I don't remember who else it was. So you have another crossing option there. You look at Kostic and Lazović, they're pinging in balls like they're David Beckham, for crying out loud. So Mitro's going to get service. Jovic is going to get service. We have all the tools. It's just we don't have somebody who can start the car. We have the car in place. We just don't have someone who can drive it properly. That's the frustrating part. But yeah, I think that we have all the tools for a strong performance. We have guys that can run fast. We have guys that in defense, even if they're not united as a defense, the thing that I'm loving is that, you know, they're diving. They're throwing themselves at every ball. You know, Adem Ljajic, who I don't think ever ran more in his life than he did in Lisbon.
Mm-hmm.
He's taking the ball off for Bernardo Silva, and he's running his butt off into the ground. And he's covering the wingback position, and he's going forward, and that's awesome to see. If only we could get somebody who could do something. That's all I want to say.
I think Ljajic was regretting those extra cups of Nutella while he was out there against Portugal. He was really thinking about his diet choices from earlier times when he was running his butt off out there. It's definitely I know people are kind of forgetting about Mitrovic because of Fulham struggles, but at the end of the day, those are Fulham struggles. I think if he was on a team that even had a decent game plan or any type of game plan and didn't change managers three or four times in a season, he would have had a lot better season. I mean,
no doubt about
Fulham
it.
Fulham was a disaster from the players they brought in. They didn't seem to have any idea. Their defense was one of the worst defenses in Premier League history. They had no shape. The midfield was always changing. Everything was always changing. So I don't think we can fully judge him on, you know, what happened with Fulham, because he's shown for the national team that he's a clinical striker. You give him a ball in the box, you give him a chance. He's also, you know, good with his feet and his head. And I think we shouldn't forget what he's done for the team and the talent that he has. He's still a very young player, in terms of that. And I think next year, if he makes the right choice with the transfer and where he goes for his next club, he can have a very big season just based on being around better players and a better structure and actual team that has a game plan and not you know, random changes every other week or every week, which would be big for him. Now let's kind of switch gears to not really switching. Well, yeah, definitely switching gears to a big accomplishment by one of our former players, one of our great players today, as Deki Dejan-Stanković was inducted into the Inter Milan Hall of Fame. He had a very storied career there. Played for the club for 10 seasons, over 300 matches, over 40 goals, won 9 trophies in those 10 seasons, 4 Serie A titles, the 5 Serie A titles, 4 Coppa Italias, and 1 Champions League in 2010. That great run. What is your general thoughts on his career and his accomplishments, Luca?
A legend, man. There's no other way to say it, dude. I really enjoyed watching him at Inter, especially under Jose Mourinho, man. I think that was the best Deki we've seen. And I don't know if you guys remember that goal against Schalke when Neuer was on Schalke. When Deki volleyed that bad boy from midfield in the Champions League. Man, that was that to this day, it's still the best Champions League goal I've seen. So hats off to him, man. Well-deserved, everything he's gotten, man. He's got a trophy case to go up against anyone, got that Champions League, got 4 Coppa Italias and 5 Serie A championships, man, with Inter. And that was one fun Inter team to watch play in the Champions League with him and Milito and Schneider and all those guys, man. So, well-deserved, Deki.
Yeah, and I know people tend to give, especially in Serbia, people tend to give Deki a hard time because during his time as captain, the national team was really never worse, but right. I don't know how you can blame him for that. And I think a lot of people put that Dragan Stojkovic pixie pressure on him. They expected him to create everything and to score all the goals, but he wasn't that type of player. He was a defensive midfielder, central midfielder. He wasn't someone that was going to be creating all the goals and all the chances for the team like Pixie did. So I think a lot of that is unfair criticism. You know, there were times where he didn't play that well for the national team, but you know, look at the situations he was in. You know, new coach every year, new coach every month basically, and you know, a lot of interchanging parts with the team. And from his role, you know, he's defensive midfielder. He's not going to be the one who's putting the ball back in the net. And what were we missing those whole times? You know, a striker.
Exactly.
We were really missing. We had Žikić was decent, Pantić was decent, but they weren't great players by any stretch of the imagination. So I think a lot of people see him in a negative light in Serbia based on his national team displays. But I think overall he was very solid. He was our leader, and he did most of the time he did the best he could under the circumstances. And he should not ever take the blame for those failures because he was a part of the team, but he wasn't the one who was the problem. You know, we all know what the real problem is in Serbian football is the organization, the people who are really in charge, not the players themselves, the managers, than, you know, one guy who all the pressure is on. Ogie, what are your thoughts about Deki's inner run and his career in general?
What to say about Stanković? He's a legend. I mean, he's one of my favorite Serbian players of all time. I remember way back, like when he almost first came to Serie A and played for Lazio with Sinisa Mihajlović. Mm-hmm. I mean, growing up as a kid, that was the one team that I would watch every weekend. I mean, it was Stanković, Mihajlović, Angelo Peruzzi, Fabrizio Ravanelli. I loved that team growing up. And then he earned a move to Inter, and he's deserved this indictment into the Hall of Fame. I mean, he's joining elite company, the likes of Walter Zenga, Javier Zanetti, Lothar Matthäus, Ronaldo. So, I mean, he's in some elite company, and I think he deserves it. You mentioned his accomplishment. He's won the Serie A and Italian Cup numerous times. He won the Champions League. I'm with Luca. That goal from half against Schalke was legendary. And not just that goal. I mean, he's scored a ton of goals, long-distance bombs. I mean, mm-hmm. He's one of the best long-range shooters, I think. I think looking back of all time. So, he legend, fully deserved, loved watching him growing up, and he's just going to remain, like I said, a legend in Serbian history.
Oh yeah, big time legend and a big time guy. He's running youth camps all around the world now for Serbian youth and youth in general. He's always been a stand up guy and a guy who's tried to do the right thing. Alexa, what are your final thoughts on his great career that's now being cemented with the Hall of Fame induction?
He is one of the best people to have ever laced up a pair of boots. He was the best captain I think we ever have and ever could have. I think that there was a tremendous misconception regarding his international career because he broke out. If you remember, when he started, he was an attacking midfielder slash striker. And he changed and over time went to the defensive midfield spot. And, you know, you can just look at what he was done. I mean, people are saying he didn't do anything. The goal in Croatia, in Zagreb, does that not count? He scored against Germany in World Cup. Does that not count? He scored against Ireland and Switzerland in games where we should have lost, and he bailed us out. He was brilliant when Radomir Antić was there, and he was covering every blade of grass. And you can point to any great player that doesn't come from a big footballing nation. You can point to Mkhitaryan, or you can point to Aubameyang, you know, and Gareth Bale and guys like that. You need a system in place to use his skills. Now, of course, he's not infallible. There were games where he could have played better, in my opinion, but that has nothing to do with his heart, his determination, his desire, and it's a shame that same thing with Nemanja Vidic. It was the same thing that, you know, all the great players have had. If, you know, if they don't score 40 goals in 50 matches for the national team, then it's a disaster. From his Inter career, he was a key linchpin in that team, and he was somebody who was always a stability factor. You know, they went from Roberto Mancini to Mourinho, and then they went to Rafa Benitez. And amidst all of that, it was him, it was Javier Zanetti, and it was Esteban Cambiaso. Those were the three guys that held it down, that you could point to at any time, and you could say, those guys were going to get it done. He was one of the best midfielders of his generation. He could score goals. He played multiple positions. Everything he did was well-deserved. He's one of the nicest guys that I've ever met from a sports perspective, and I was honored enough to have a picture with him. So I love him to bits. It's a shame that he wasn't recognized for what he should have been, but that's not the first or last time that's going to happen. And I hope that he gets a function in the FA where he can do something, because I think he'd be perfect for it. But it's I don't think it's going to happen.
I think it's really sad, even his send-off from the national team. Remember his retirement game? It wasn't
against
even
Japan.
In.
It was against Japan, and it was in Nation. It was like 4,000
people. No, it was in Novi Sad. Yeah, and that's like, you know, he was a big player at Zvezda. You know, he was a captain at a young age. He was a great player there. His send-off game should have been at the Maracana. It should have been in a full stadium, but it was in Novi Sad for some reason against Japan.
I would also point out, if you remember, Pixie Stojkovic didn't get a send-off from Zvezda. He got a send-off from Radnički Niš and Nagoya. Vidic didn't get a send-off. None of their great players have ever really gotten a send-off, per se, that was worthy of it. And I don't blame the FA as much as I blame just the fans, because they're spoiled. They watch, you know, the Premier League, and they watch Messi and Ronaldo, and they watch these great players, and they think, well, we have a star, and he should play like that. Yeah, but no, he can't play like that, because that's not his role. That's not his job. It's the same thing with Nemanja Matić. There are people who said he was a worst player in the World Cup when the guy's covering the entire midfield by himself and he's absolutely killing himself. But because he's not scoring goals and because he's not creating anything, you know, it's just it's a bad topic. I think that we as fans have some responsibility in that too. But what can you do?
I really do wish that the culture of our fans was a bit better towards players, and actually in general, because I think a lot of people in Serbia are just bandwagon jumpers. If you look at, look at Zvezda, right, in the Champions League, you can't get a ticket. But even last weekend, when they needed a win to secure the title, there was barely anybody at the stadium. It was only the hardcores that were there. Yeah, exactly. But there was nobody. There was really, like, if you care about the club, why would you not come for a game like that and celebrate the title? It doesn't make any sense. I think a lot of people in Serbia are very spoiled when it comes to athletics, and they just don't have.
I think that's just a mentality problem in general. That's a mentality problem. You know, when we see a neighbor fixing a house, we can do it better than he can, and that's the same for every sport. And, you know, there are people that are up against Novak Djokovic. And, you know, if they're up against him, then nobody else has much of a chance, to be honest. It's a mentality
thing. Yeah, exactly.
I think everybody, you know, people in Turkey and Greece are like that, but they have their elementary respect for players and the talent, where sometimes we go out and we say that, you know, he didn't do anything. You know, 100 matches mean nothing. He never did anything productive when, you know, he played for three nations and played in four tournaments. Specifically, that's not that should mean something. And when you come from a small country, it's hard to do that when you don't have a system, when you don't have a manager who stays in one place, when you're expected to do something you can't do. It's hard. That's a life thing. That's hard. It's
no doubt, man. And, like, all that pressure from the fans, all that criticism from the fans just puts so much more pressure on our guys and our national team. And you guys are right. There's definitely a culture problem within our fan base that I don't see being rectified anytime soon, man. So I guess we've got to learn to live with it.
Yeah, I think
I would like
more,
to just
more
kind
appreciation.
Of point out, if I may, again, sorry to interrupt. I think that, look, we compare football to other sports, and we're like, well, we're great in basketball, we're great in volleyball, whatever, and we should be great in football, when it's much, much more difficult to be great in football. And I think that if we just kind of lowered our expectations and just tried to be a little bit more respectful to players on the pitch. I can understand if you don't like the manager, you don't like the FA, you don't want to come to matches because of the hooligans and whatnot. That's perfectly reasonable. But have respect for players on the pitch. If they will, they want to win everything and they're trying to win everything, it's not their fault. It's not all their fault.
There's a lot of guys that deserve a lot more appreciation for what they've done for our sport, for our, you know, our nation, and our, and that's the sport of football. You know, guys like Vidic, Ivanovic, Stankovic for sure. I don't think any of them have gotten a stand-up that they deserve. I think, you know, the FA is part to blame, but the FA isn't that much to blame because, as you mentioned, people just don't seem to care that much about these things. I think people that live in the diaspora, like most of us here, care a lot more about the national team in general and about the players themselves. Maybe just different way upbringings in different nations. It could be a part of it. But at the end of the day, I think, you know, these guys have done a lot. They came from, you know, basically nothing. They made great careers for themselves. They gave a lot to our football, and they should get some respect at least. I don't know why. Yeah, every time you know somebody is praised, there's always millions of comments saying, you know, that they didn't do anything or they don't care, they just care about money. Same thing with Djokovic. I mean, people criticize him all the time in Serbia. For what reason? You know, we're on the world map currently because of him, basically. So I don't know why he's a target.
Well, he doesn't pay his taxes. No big deal as if we pay our taxes.
Yeah, nobody pays taxes in Serbia.
Come on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, let's wrap up that topic now and move on to some of the great performances of our players this past weekend. And today in Europe, Marco Gruy scored his fifth goal of the season for Hertha in only 19 games. He may have had a chance at double digits if he wasn't injured for that while there. Luca, another big week for him, and he just continues to get better and better.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And, you know, you guys mentioned that with Matic's slump, you know, there's definitely room in the midfield for somebody like a Gruj to come in, man, and take over and really solidify himself in that position. So I'm looking forward to these next two games, and I really do hope that we do see Marco in there.
Yeah, definitely. And also another guy that had a big game today, continues to kill it, is Adam Nagy, to a goal and assist today for Besiktas. I think he's got about 5 or 6 goals and 5 or 6 assists in the last month for them, so he's on a tear of his life. Ogi, what are you seeing from our players in Europe in general?
Like always, I mean, we're getting production from all positions. Marc Gruic has been an absolute revelation. I'm hearing that there's interest from Atletico Madrid. They're interested in signing him with midfielders like Rodri and Saul Niguez set to leave. They're rumored to be interested in him. Of course, he is on loan from Liverpool, so we'll see if they have plans of keeping him. But aside from him, I just want to give one quick shout out. It's not a player, but Sinisa Mihajlović has quietly been doing a phenomenal job of
killing.
I mean, they were on the verge of getting relegated. They've just gone on this crazy run, and they won again today 4-1. So they're safe in Serie A. Shout out to him. I don't know if there's too many fans that will ever want to see him back on the touch lines, but I guess it's nice to see
him. I'm one of them, man. I would like to see him get a second try at the national team, dude.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think he's a proven manager. He's, like I said, he's done an excellent job. Excellent job since he's joined Bologna. You know, aside from that, the standard. I mean, we're getting production from everywhere. Spajic continues to play well. Veljković put in a good shift, so the defenders are coming along. Mm-hmm. No need to mention Nemanja Maksimović anymore. We all know what he's been up to. What to say? Good production up and down the board. Happy for all the guys heading into the international break.
Always, always good to see your boys playing regularly and playing well. And yeah, Mihajlović, I think he left prematurely from the national team. He was doing very well. He got things going, and then he decided to take a Serie A job. So, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing him back. Maybe Jajic would mind that, though, since he wouldn't be on the national team anymore since he's not singing the anthem. And Alex, anyone you'd like to add and give a special mention to out there that's doing well?
Not really to add anyone. I would like to point out that Adam and Sinisa were in Torino for a while, and they worked fine, so I don't think that would be the issue. I think Sinisa had a very, very nasty divorce from the national team, and I think that the way things went, the loss in Macedonia where he benched Subotic and Ivanovic still sticks in my brain. The lineup he put out at the Maximator against Croatia when he said, whoever guesses my lineup is getting a dinner for me. You know, the stuff like that, I think, kind of alienated a lot of people. Mm-hmm. He had the right idea. We were playing well. We were creating chances. I remember that Belgium game when we lost 3-0. It was raining, but I've never seen us play like – we had like 25 chances and we couldn't score any of them. But that was a way to play the right way. And it didn't work out because he kind of shot himself in the foot. But I think he's a good manager. I think, you know, he's basically Italian because he's managed every Italian club apart from Juventus. So it's not that much of a surprise. And Bologna has some good players, the likes of, you know, Sieralta, Rodrigo Palacio, Lianco. Shout out to him, who also scored. I'd like to point that out. The Serbzilian, yes. And as far as everyone else, Grujic has been compared to Stefan Effenberg and Hertha. So I think that shows how much they value him. Liverpool, you know, Lallana and Milner are getting older. I'd like to see him get a try because I think he would be awesome for Klopp. Shame that Besiktas couldn't get Lazio going earlier because they're just a little bit short of challenging for the title, but he's playing amazingly. It's a shame Maksimovic, that Getafe had such a difficult schedule because I watched them against Barca, and they were really good. But their schedule is just, they had Barca, they had Real, they had Sevilla, they had some very difficult teams, and they might not get top four, which is disappointing. Apart from that, I think it's been pretty similar. The defenders are doing fine. The response is very good from Krasnodar. So individually, our players are good. And now, like I said, we just need someone who can drive the car. We have the Formula One race car. We just don't have a driver for it.
That's right. Another great week for our players. Another exciting week for football in general. Hopefully next week is just as good. I want to thank everyone for joining us today. Everybody have a good night. And look forward to seeing and listening to you all next week.
Van de Beek and Tadic! Ajax have their boots on the throats of the champions! Milinkovic, Savic! With a belter! Oh, what a phenomenal strike!
Little push and run from Kolarov, who had a goal and hit the inside at the top of the net and dragged Roma right back into it.